We would think that the unexpected brings the most stress to our lives, but psychologists say that planned change is even more disruptive than unplanned change. Somehow, things that just happen are seen as acts of God. We can fight them, ignore them, or accept them, but we know we can't fix them or change them. So after the initial shock or disappointment, we find the energy to deal with them. We find the grace to rise to the occasion. But when we think there's some malicious or lesser mind at work, or that we could have changed something by wile or guile, we fight it, fret over it, and never stop fussing, at least internally. That's stress. For the past 50 years, we've been experts at planning change. That is a new phenomenon for the most part. Unfortunately, it has now become a mindset and a way of life. We think we can do it and that we ought to be doing it. That's not to say that some of the changes we've brought about in church and society weren't good and necessary, but I think we have paid a large price internally for such a Promethean, daringly original self-image. For the most part, we can no longer just let it be. We are now natural fixers, changers, adjusters, constant engineers of our own reality. It makes for a very different kind of soul. It develops what I call the calculative mind, as opposed to the goal of all mature spirituality, the contemplative mind. The attitude that is needed for deep and panoramic seeing is not a fixing, calculating stance, but much more an attitude of listening, trusting, and waiting. It is the only way to get out of the way with our judgments, control mechanisms, and personal opinions. Maybe that's why Jesus says we are saved by faith, by trusting and surrendering instead of pushing and trying, and by passion, the suffering of reality, rather than deliberate action. Interestingly, we say we are saved by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. All things that are done to him more than anything he does. It seems that the human person needs an absolute outside of itself. Have you noticed how much the enthusiastic types on television or radio use the word absolutely, even when they're talking about an exercise machine? In an age when we have no real absolutes, the whirling mind and emotions look for something upon which to settle in order to take away their anxiety. We seem to need an outer reference point to stop the vertigo of our own imagination and the tyranny of having to make constant choices. We seem to need some kind of God to serve as a centerpiece. I will create an absolute for myself to justify and settle my choices. My football team, my marriage, my religion, my land, my theory, my self-image, my rights, my exercise machine. Anything at all. Just give me something to wrap my thoughts and feelings around for a while. Something outside of myself, an idea, an event, a person, a project, to free me from the boredom and tyranny of myself. It works. And gives us a settled sense of purpose and direction. Without it, we find it very hard to live with our own mind and emotions. The idea is not wrong, just misplaced. The only real issue is to find an absolute that really has some absolute character to it. That is probably the difference between a wise person and a merely opinionated or driven person. Wisdom knows what is worth worshiping and honoring. The rest of us will settle for anything to get us through the next conversation. I believe that everybody has faith in something in order to survive, even if it is faith in cynicism. We all find something upon which to lean, and false gods do work for short periods. We all find some absolute around which to whirl. Even if it is an absolute opinion that there is no God.